Lord God, we come to you in Jesus' name. And Lord, such a needy people, but a thankful people. Lord, thanking you as you have caused us to understand and to know because of your faithfulness and love to us and your plan of love. That, Lord, every need we have divinely given from you. Lord, thank you that we look into the Word of God and we know all things work together for good to them that love God. Lord, thank you. We're here today and you have proven to us we are the called according to your purpose. Lord, you do send your word out and it does perform it and it accomplishes in the thing that you have sent. And Lord, here we are, those precious things, a new lump, as you call us in the Word of God. And oh, how brand new we are. Lord, let us rejoice, God, in this new life and truly grow up and realize it is the only life we have. Thanking you, Lord, for your finished work this morning. Thanking you, God, that it was the joy that was set before you that you endured the cross. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that we love you because you first loved us. And in Jesus' name, we give you all the thanks now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's turn on over to Deuteronomy chapter 6 this morning. And thanking God again this day and many different things, but especially what's on my heart are our precious youth that we have. God gracing us with the beauty of the fruit of God and the fruit of God as we see it in our young people. And how wonderful that the Lord always ministers and gives us instruction in being parents, being fathers in faith to different ones. And thanking God for that opportunity. And in Deuteronomy chapter 6, we'll begin reading from verse 5. It says, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou shalt sit in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates." I think we have a very clear definition and explanation of God's heart for us, and especially with our households. And notice, it all begins in love. Do not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Let it reign in your home. Let it be the one thing that you rely upon for everything, and not just in times of emergency, but did you notice? Morning, noon, and night. Praise God. Go on over to Isaiah. And in Isaiah chapter 54, verse 13, it says it like this. "And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children." Isn't that interesting in this day that we're facing, especially in these past weeks where these young people have committed such horrific things? There's no peace there, because there is only one peace, and that's our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But it assures us right here, it says, "And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children." Now, brothers and sisters, the reason that we can have this peace is because of the confidence that we have in the faithfulness of God and in the promise of his gospel that we have given to our children. Believe the word of God. Believe in the power of the word of God. Put that child in that basket, just as that precious mom did, and trust God for your child's life. I thank the Lord how the Lord has brought me over and over to that with my children throughout my lifetime. And I thank God it's been such a powerful source in growing me up into Him in all things. Now, brothers and sisters, when we give them over to God, I want you to understand something in case you still don't get it. That does not mean that every choice that your child will make will be a good choice. It does not mean that everything that they will do will be exactly right. It doesn't mean that they will never make a mistake. But go across the page there to Isaiah 53:6, because God already has told us and informed us about every single one of us. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And all I say is thank you and hallelujah to Jesus. Praise God that, Lord, you have taken care of it. And I thank God we go to him and we know that he took it all for us. But what the truth in love does, and I want to continue to emphasize this, brothers and sisters, because I still believe there is a hesitation to really understanding it is truth in love. That is why the Word of God gave us such specific instruction that it is the Father who is speaking, who is looking for the true worshiper who worships him in what? In spirit and in truth. You want to be a true worshiper? I do. It didn't just say truth. It said spirit and in truth. And brothers and sisters, that Holy Ghost is vital. 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 That's why we live in this age of the bride, of this readied wife. And that is why specifically in beginning this age that we live in, this church age, Jesus Christ said, I must go to the Father. I must go to him. And not just because he needed to ascend to heaven. No, I must go to him to send you another comforter. I'm going to send this wonderful Holy Ghost to you. He has been with you and shall be in you. Now we know in the Old Testament time, and it was beautiful. The Lord showed us there were moments that God divinely showed us that ones were filled with the Holy Ghost for a specific purpose. A specific purpose. We had ones like Samson it spoke of. There was some specific purpose going on there. How about Elizabeth? Said she was full of the Holy Ghost, or filled with the Holy Ghost with that baby in her. There were things that God did. He showed that there was a purpose, a purpose, a purpose. Well, he's got his divine purpose going on right now. The fully purposed life. And it took something. It took the infilling of the Holy Ghost to enlighten eyes of understanding for that. It took the Holy Ghost, praise God, that was with them, that should be in them, so that they could be led into all truth and to have love shed abroad in their hearts. Love shed abroad in their hearts. Oh, amen. The true worshiper. Once again, we go back to the definition of worship. Drawing nigh in fervent love to kiss. Just let that speak to your heart. Why does worship mean that? Why does it come from those words in the Greek? Why does it? Because there's something about that true worshiper that the Father's looking for. And that's why it says that the true worshiper will worship him, draw nigh to him in fervent love. In what? Spirit. And in truth. The Lord quickened my heart this morning to come to tell you earlier on, the motivation is everything. I don't want to be going through motions. Motions isn't marriage. Love is marriage. Friday night, praise God, the Lord brought out even the word Beulah. Beulah Land. You love that song? Sweet Beulah Land, oh Beulah Land, for on the solid rock I stand. I love that song. Oh, I love that song. You know what Beulah Land is? Married Land. Married land. Married land. Don't know where we're going today, but I like where we're going. When we speak truth and love in our homes, when we speak truth and love in our homes, what happens is we have a promise of God. Of a tender heart. We have the assurance of the Lord that God will undertake, and God's faithfulness that they will not depart from it when they're old. See, we even have a greater responsibility, brothers and sisters, to whom much is given, much is required. And in this age, you think of how much has been given and how much is required for us to give to our children. That the motivation of this would truly be truth in love. Now, I thank God that that was made known in the prodigal. God's faithfulness brought that young man home. You know that? God's faithfulness did. He was a prodigal, but it was God. Yet so often, I hate to say this about God's precious people, but it is a fact. And I pray to never be one of them. I don't want to be pathetic. I don't want to be focused on and judgmental with the outward appearance, losing complete sight of what's valuable to God, and that's the heart. That's a paramount truth to really understand if you really want the love of Christ to be perfected, completed in your life. Now, we can see this in the Word of God. Outwardly, Solomon, King Solomon, was the finest of men. But we know that he left his first love. He was the one that wrote at the very end, "Oh, vanity of vanity," all of the things that he had. And the Word of God said very clearly about Solomon, "Solomon, you weren't like David. Your heart was not perfect towards me, son. You were turned. It wasn't complete." Sadness of what could have been, but isn't it sad that he knew what he had missed? Then you think of King Saul. Oh, how God's people promoted a goodly man. Huh. Let me tell you something. God's choice is never on the outward appearance. God's choice will always be on the heart that is after him. No matter how it looks to man, God is always about the heart that is after him. Did he not show us over and over and over in the Word of God? Ones like Samuel, such a prophet. I mean, you'd think that guy would know everything about what the Lord's choice was and all of these things. Well, God had to tell him, "Get on over there to Jesse. It's coming out of one of his sons." Oh, Samuel was just all excited as every one of them sons walked. Well, it's got to be him, and it's got to be him, and it's got to be him. Because Samuel even was looking on that outward appearance. Samuel! Then finally he was quickened. Well, wait a second. Don't you have another son? Even passed over by his daddy. Gideon passed over by himself. God give us that heart. See, that's a lowly heart. Now, that doesn't mean to stay into despair. That doesn't mean to stay into doubt. But we best know who we are but for God. We best really know, absolutely, we are nothing. Nothing. And he is everything. Oh, I'll tell you, I think sometimes how critical God's people can be. Just like they were with David, It's amazing how quickly people forget what God has done through people. Amazing. Despicable. People forgetting what God has allowed people to do for people. But then how quickly they turn. Unbelievable. It's amazing how quickly we can get offended because we're too caught up in ourselves. Now, all they wanted to do was to tear David down. Did you know that? Can you imagine? They were singing songs about him. Now it's time for him to go down. You know? They were the ones that were all and most interested about the outward appearance as opposed to that heart that God was enamored with, that gentle heart, that loving heart, and that love sincerely that looked for the mercy in my truth. Mm-hmm. I'm so thankful God, he revealed that to me about my life. Yes, he did, and I will testify to this. He truly spoke to me over years. Sometimes it's not necessarily an epiphany, brothers and sisters. I don't know if you understand that, but I do. I'm a little slow. God's got to take time. And so it was Jesse, it's not the outward appearance. It's that tender heart by God's grace that I gave you. And I heard the Lord encourage my heart so mightily. Quit trying. Quit being so uptight to succeed in everything. To be this testimony, example that you think you need to be. And let me live in you, son. And let me love in you, son. And then thank God, then let me love through you, son. He went on to tell me about a liberty that's in him that I never really realized. The freedom to truly trust God with my life. It's amazing where he'll take you to trust God with your life. To trust him that said, you know, son, I've made you. I have made all your battles. I have divinely sent and seen all your trials. I have given divinely and served to you all your uprisings and your downsettings. I know your thought afar off because I gave you that brain. And I'm going to tell you what you should know right now, son. My grace will lead you through. And my glory by my grace will be revealed even in you. And then you know what finally happened? I finally began to have his testimony. His testimony. Not my testimony. Because my testimony is nothing. And his testimony is everything. Now, turning to our precious young people today. Looking at some of them. You are God's treasure. God's treasure, honeys. You're God's treasure. In the Word of God, the Lord, pretty much always, he turned and loved the children. You think about whether it was the children in the wilderness. Think of that. God knew that the future was in those lives of those that were 20 and under. Think of that. That's who he brought in there. He had obviously a Joshua and a Caleb that they needed. But he knew that the potential, praise God, was in all those that were 20 and under. Think about what is said so much about Christian youth today. It's always disparaging and discouraging, down. Let me tell you something. I thank God for you. I thank God for your kids. I know where God's treasure is because I know the word of God. I think about how the Lord, we're rejoicing in the study in Revelation, says about the 144,000. You know what he calls them? A man child. What about the Lord telling us himself, don't hinder the little ones from coming to me, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It belongs to them. The word emphasizes many times the value in God's choice is in that younger generation. And praise be to God, we have that here. And I want to encourage the young people and encourage my brethren. Lord, help us to treasure them and to continue to encourage them and foster what God has given us in this place. It is a wonderful thing. What we have, brothers and sisters, I will tell you, is very, very rare. To have an abundance as God has given us in these young ones that love the truth, that know the truth, that rejoice in the truth, and that know that they're loved in the truth, I don't know where else it is. I'm telling you. And if this is the last bastion for that, by the grace of God, and my boast is in the Lord. And I have a memorial day today thanking God. And people can say whatever they want to say about anybody. They did it with David too. But there was something about ones that have that love. And I will tell you, there was something about Brother Hill that he loved. And I thank God. I knew he loved me in the truth. And I knew, praise God, that as he would walk around to those classrooms, I remember looking at him. And I thank God, God put that same love in my heart. I got to see those kids. It's not comparing. It's not anything of that nature. I'm just telling you what it is. And thanking the Lord for them and rejoicing unto God. And I give thanks to our teachers and to this assembly. Those young people know they're loved. They love to come into this place. They encourage their parents that are too tired to come to church. Let's go to church. They're excited about camp. And it's not just the camp, praise God. It's the worshiping. The excitement over the years. Praise the Lord. I believe I'm going to get filled with the Holy Ghost this year. That joy. That thankfulness to God, that encouragement, hallelujah, that this is for me. And it's everything. Oh, see, brothers and sisters, oftentimes children are overlooked, especially in an assembly. But I thank God, not here. I thank God that these children are trained up that they are loved. See, when you train them up that they're loved. Love is what builds confidence. Love is what builds strength. Love is what gives a positive attitude. Talk about these 18-year-olds and what they just did. I'll give you one thing that they didn't have. They had no love. You're hearing about those stories. It's not an excuse, but it's just what it is. You train them up in love. I thank God I was trained up in a gospel. I knew Jesus loved me. I knew the motivation in my life back to him through a mother wasn't, well, you can't do that and, you know, you get rid of that. It was, honey, no, the love of Christ, you don't need that. I don't need that. I need him. See, again, it's back to is love the motivator? Love is all powerful. You don't get married to have children. You don't get married to have a house. You don't get married to have cars or debt or whatever. You get married because you love. It's not because it's the responsible thing or this is what we have to do or this is why I live or grow up. No. You get married because you love somebody. And the Lord and his whole plan is because he loved us. And that's it. And by the grace of God, we best go on in that first love, or you will lose it. And oftentimes you'll lose it inside of yourself, thinking how dutiful you are. How many times I've talked to couples and they can't understand one of them why their marriage isn't a marriage anymore. Well, I do this and I do that and I'm checking boxes and I'm doing all these things. I didn't come up to that altar to marry my wife with a list. I came to her because I loved her. And she came to me because she loved me. And he came to me because he loved me. And I come to him because I love him. I live for him. I preach for him because I love him. I give this word this morning because I love him and I love what he loves and I love you. Don't you be robbed. Don't let any root of bitterness come into you and say, well, I know this and he doesn't understand and all that. Let me tell you something. I might know just a little bit. You become unteachable, you're done. And I'll tell you that right now. We compare ourselves amongst ourselves. Done. I pray you're listening. There might just be one or two that need that. I'm thankful, brothers and sisters, so thankful that we have in this place an encouragement, because children aren't neglected in the love of Christ here. They're encouraged, and we have fostered that in here. That's why by God's grace there are generations. I look out across here. I thank God. Well, there's 3, 4. Keep living, sister. 5, 6. I don't know. But Jesus is coming. Over on this side, how many generations? Praise the Lord. I'm looking at them. That's truth in love. That's love that don't let you go. That's love that chastens and convicts the heart. Oh, I think I'm going to go my way. I'm going to get it done like that. Ain't going to happen, is it, honey? Jesus is after you. Jesus is hot after you. I hope you see him smiling. Not up there at you. I mean right next to you. Now. We have this, brothers and sisters. We're thankful. If you've really paid attention in here, we have encouragement like a Stephen and a Timothy. We have young people that are full of the Holy Ghost. That's the truth. Thank the Lord. I thank God that it is something that we need to emphasize always. I pray we understand this, and we need to really understand this as the people of God. The Lord's word is supreme. All right? And you can think you can follow it all the way through and this is it, but when we skip things and neglect things and avoid things because it's convenient, God help us. I thank the Lord, and I mean this. The Holy Ghost is emphasized in this place. Has to be. Because it's emphasized in this place. You understand that. We're here to win God's best. Amen. I'm going to ask you something. Can you be led into all truth without the Holy Ghost? I ask you again. Can you be led into all truth without the Holy Ghost? It would be contradictory if so. Because Jesus Christ said, I have to send him. And he told those disciples specifically, he said, you don't have the capacity to understand the things that I want to tell you. The word was right there. All the word was right there. Jesus Christ himself. With us, dwelt among us, touched him, felt him, all of that. The word in his fullness was right there in front of them. But they could not understand everything he wanted to say to them. And what was the reason? They did not have the Holy Ghost. All right? So I could, or somebody could, teach you everything about every one of those tracts that are in the back. All the study books that we have. I could speak to you in all of these different things. But without me emphasizing to you the absolute necessity to be filled with the Holy Ghost, that will never fully profit you. It never will. You can know it by rote. You can maybe utter it back. You might even be able to somewhat fool yourself or a few other people. But I am telling you, by the grace of God, you need the infilling of the Holy Ghost. And that's where I commend the youth, and I thank God for the encouragement that we don't have to wait for camp. I'm looking at a young man I know that God filled on his bed. It's all right. Be thankful for that, honey. That's just God's grace. I thank God for a sister here. Praise the Lord for you, honey. She's not ashamed of the gospel of Christ into her Catholic family. Never saw so many Catholics filled with the Holy Ghost. She snags those nieces and nephews and gets them down here. And we're going to pray and receive the Holy Ghost. And you know what? They want to. There's a joy. And they got a big family. And she's fun. But there's a difference. It's not pointing out a person. It's the grace of God that is with that person. And that same grace of God is right here. That's why I thank God that we come here. And you want to seek the Holy Ghost today? Let's seek the Holy Ghost today. We don't have to wait till camp, but I thank the Lord that that excitement is there. And that thankfulness is there. God gives us that place. And that's a precious thing. And it is a vital thing. Thank the Lord for our youth that are filled with the Holy Ghost, that are going now to get full of the Holy Ghost. See, once you have that, then you can receive that instruction. I thank the Lord how this truth in love gospel, this marriage doctrine is preached. They're downstairs right now. Hearing about that bridal truth. Amen. You preach them the whole counsel of God. I leave it to God to instruct them, to teach them that wonderful spirit and truth. It's a marvel dummies like us have grown up in this Babylon of Denver. So many people dressed in here a lot of different ways. Might even be women with makeup in here. I have a memorial. We had a pastor that grew up. He was caught into that kind of stuff. God grew him up. Here's your fruit. But you know what? There's still more. Here they are. Now, wrapping this up, I'm thankful to God that we have this. I'm thankful to God that, again, it is his grace. And I'm thankful to God that the Lord often chooses the younger. Whether it was Jacob, whether it was Manasseh, whether it was King David, whether it was little Josiah. Young people, understand who you are to Christ. The treasure and the value that you are to him. And understand priceless treasure of the truth and love doctrine that he has given to us. I believe we're going to have a good time if the Lord tarry this afternoon. You think so? I love you. And may the love of Christ grow more and more in us to one another. Amen. Amen. Let's stand up. Be dismissed here.
There's so much to be fearful for in this world.
Oh, yeah.
But I tell you, perfect love casts out all fear.
Amen.
It doesn't matter if you're young or old. You haven't received my spirit. The best time is now.
Amen.
Whether it be in your car, whether it be here at the altar, whether it be by yourself, I implore you, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden.
Oh.
Don't be afraid. I want to give you my love, my comfort. It's okay. And if you think that it has anything to do with you, has nothing to do with you, just let it go and give it to me.
Oh, hallelujah. Father, we do thank you in Jesus' name and just give you all the glory this morning. Lord, thank you. You've gathered your people, and Lord, we're a thankful people. And Lord, I believe because of your faithfulness and your truth that, Lord, this love has grown a little bit more. Lord, continue to quicken our hearts to let us be joyful as we should. Lord, awakening God into the beauty of the Lord that is in his vessels. And Jesus, thank you again for this time that you've provided to us and God willing, this meal that we'll have. And Lord, we thank you for the hands that have prepared it. And Lord, the love that you have caused that these ones have brought these things and brought their lives today. And Lord, we do commit these children to you. And Lord, we do ask you to nourish our bodies with this food and to let us have such a glorious time in the fellowship of the gospel of Christ. Thank you for this time you've spent with us today, as always. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.